Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, I have Travis Fairweather, a wildfire information officer with the Government of Alberta. Hi, Travis.
Hi, Steph. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. It's beautiful out.
Yeah, it's always nice to see some warm weather. Definitely nice to be able to get outside in these current conditions, for sure.
For sure. But we are seeing a little bit of this warmer weather, dry weather, and that's causing a bit of concern, right? I understand there were a couple little fires yesterday in the region.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you do get this hotter weather, especially when the grass is still dry and dead, that's certainly conditions where fires can start easily and spread quite quickly. So, yeah, we did see a couple of wildfires yesterday. Fortunately, crews were able to get on them quickly and make sure they didn't spread to be too big in size or threaten the community. But, yeah, certainly it's a reminder that this time of year, it's definitely a hazard out there.
And have they both been completely put out?
They're not classified as fully extinguished at this point. There was the one very close to Beacon Hill there. It has been taken over by the regional municipality. So they'll be working on that one, but I haven't heard of any issues with that one, and I believe the other one is under control at this time.
Okay. Do you know what caused them?
The regional municipality, that would be sort of up to them to determine a cause, and then the other one is still under investigation at this time.
Okay. So on that note, of course, we don't want to see any wildfires around here. Do you have some, like, tips for how we can make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to make sure another fire doesn't happen?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of things Albertans can do, especially when doing recreational activities, things like having a campfire, riding off-highway vehicles. You know, we just ask people to use a little extra caution out there. A little common sense goes a long way. So, for example, with a campfire, just make sure you never leave it unattended, that there's always a responsible person around to watch over that fire. And if you do have to go leave, just make sure it's fully extinguished. Soak it with water, stir up the ashes, soak it again. Just make sure that fire is completely out. And then I also mentioned the off-highway vehicles. If you're out there riding, just stop every once in a while. Check those hot areas, such as the exhaust, the engine, in the wheel wells, under the seat, that sort of areas. Just make sure there's no debris built up in there. That debris can sort of simmer and smolder and fall off the vehicle into the tall grass and then cause a wildfire later. So as long as you're clearing out the debris out of those areas, that goes a long way to preventing wildfires as well.
Now, if we continue on having this dry weather and beautiful sunshiny days all the time, are we going to see some extra, restrictions or precautions put into place?
Certainly that's always a possibility. Our people are always watching the conditions, seeing what's happening out there. And if it does get dry enough, or if we get some of these big wind events, it is possible that a fire restriction or even a fire ban could be put in place. But certainly, you know, that's a step we only take when absolutely necessary.
And I've heard that people are saying, you know, we didn't have that much snow over the winter. Does the snow have a big effect on how dry the forests are even months after it melts, or?
Yeah, absolutely. That moisture we get over the winter is pretty key, especially how quickly the snow melts. So if the snow melts slowly and seeps into the ground there, that's good. That sort of that keeps everything nice and moist and doesn't dry out as quickly. But when the snow runs off very quickly, it doesn't absorb into the ground, and that can certainly increase the fire hazard.
And would you say this year the snow melted quickly or slowly?
It definitely ran off a little bit quicker than we would have liked, and we are kind of seeing, we did see less snow, like you mentioned, over the winter. So certainly conditions are a little drier right now, but generally speaking, we are kind of right around where we are in a normal year. So far this year in the province, we've had about 240 wildfires, and our five-year average is about 250. So we're even a little bit under that. This is certainly that time of year when we do see that increased hazard, just because of that, up until the leaves and grass turn green, that is that time of highest hazard. But it is about average for this time of year.
What other things could cause a wildfire?
Yeah, there's many causes. We sort of break it down into two categories. There's either human caused or lightning caused. This time of year, we don't see much lightning at all. So pretty much all of the wildfires we see this time of year are human caused. And even looking back at last season, it was a quieter season, but the human caused wildfires were quite a bit higher. So normally we see about 63% of all wildfires are human caused. But last year that number actually rose up to 88%. So, anytime we see a spike like that, that's certainly a cause for concern as well.
For sure. Now, a lit cigarette, could that be something that would ruin somebody's day?
Yeah, certainly. There's many human causes. Anything from, like you mentioned, a lit cigarette to campfires, off-highway vehicles. Other things such as, burning large brush piles that get away, or even a lot of industry stuff, like power line, railroad. All of those things can cause a wildfire and are sort of investigated if a fire is determined to be human caused.
And we did just pass our five-year anniversary of the Horse River wildfire, which was huge. Is that a possibility that could happen to Fort McMurray again, or have we kind of burned most of our fuel around here?
I mean, certainly it's always a possibility, if the wrong fire gets into the wrong place. The silver lining to that large wildfire was that a lot of the fuel that a fire would need to consume did get burned, and it would be harder for that fuel to burn again. So, that does create a bit of a safety barrier, but it doesn't completely eliminate the risk.
And I've seen as well, like a wildfire was caused maybe in California or something with like a gender reveal party. Are these just kind of freak accidents, or should we really be thinking about, what kind of explosives we're setting off as well? Or can guns start a fire?
Absolutely. It's not likely that the gun itself would cause a fire, but people like to use what's called an exploding target, and those have been determined to cause quite a few wildfires. There was one earlier this year down near Claire's home, which was determined to be caused by that, and people were charged with that. So certainly things like fireworks and exploding targets, they aren't allowed without written permission from a forest officer. And if you don't have that permission and you're within the forest protection area, those aren't allowed, and you could be fined.
Okay. I think that might be all the questions I have for you today. Did you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, just reminding people that this time of year, it's that high hazard. So just use a little extra caution out there, and hopefully we can keep everybody safe.
Perfect. My guest this morning is Travis Fairweather, a wildfire information officer with the Government of Alberta. Thanks for joining me, Travis.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll be hearing from Communities in Bloom.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, I have Helen Meyer, the chair of the committee for Wood Buffalo Communities in Bloom. Hi, Helen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm really excited. This is one of my favorite times of year when you can kind of walk through a garden center and check out what they've brought in for us this year. And that's kind of a big part of what Communities in Bloom is about, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's what I wanted to come and share with the community, some tips about gardening, who we are, and to let people know that there are a lot of opportunities to get out there this summer and enjoy your backyards and have beautiful gardens. You bet.
I love it. All right. Tell me about Communities in Bloom. Who are you?
Yeah, well, Communities in Bloom is a national nonprofit organization. We are committed to fostering civic pride, environmental responsibility, and creating beautiful green spaces in the community. The RMWB joined the organization in the year 2000, and we've actively participated since that time. And our mission really is to maintain a connection with the National Communities in Bloom program, which includes, in a normal year, our program would include having judges coming to evaluate our community on various beautification and environmental efforts. But as we know, programming has changed in the last year. So we've just switched things up a bit and are working on revising our program.
Okay. So what do the revisions look like?
Yes. So we have noticed with our initiatives for this year include to be able to provide and host COVID-friendly programming. And we're fortunate that we're able to include some of our programs that we normally host, which is Nominate Your Neighbor and Flower of the Year, as well as the National CIB's Hope is Growing program. It's some of the live events that we were able to promote and recognize our volunteer appreciation that we're not able to host this year, but we can still go forward with those, and we're pretty excited about that. Something else we're doing this year is we're introducing a new branding. So this includes a new logo that incorporates the favorable raven with a floral wingspan and a modern acronym of CIB. So the, again, like I said, that the organization has been in the community for a long time and people recognize it for the cute raven photo and logo. So you can see our new logo throughout town with our new programming with Nominate Your Neighbor. And also on Facebook, our social media platforms will also be advertising it there. Another one of our initiatives is to provide an enhanced social media experience through virtual promotion and engagement. So, as I mentioned, our new logo will be flashing that all over the place. And an example of our virtual engagement, earlier this year, we offered an online poll to vote for the 2021 Flower of the Year. And over 3,000 community members voted, choosing one of four flower choices. And the nasturtium won with 51% with 1,679 votes. So we were pretty excited that people, it showed that people were engaged and interested in participating, and it was something new for us. So we were pretty excited about that.
And what does a nasturtium look like?
A nasturtium is, they're cute little flowers. They actually are really easy to grow in our region. And so they have yellow, orange, and red flowers. And they grow in sun or shade. They're considered an annual in this part of the country, or probably in Canada, all over the place. But they grow really easily. They can kind of vine along plants. You can put them in border gardens or plant gardens or planter boxes. They're just quite simple to grow, and they actually have some neat characteristics too, that they're an edible flower and there's a lot of health benefits. So they have a lot of vitamin C, which helps with our immune system, but leaves are really where the health power punch is, and it's interesting that they help the body to detoxify, improve memory, and fight depression. They're also used in remote parts of the world to fight colds, respiratory problems, and to make oils and creams for skin infections. Like all of these things we didn't know. We usually grow flowers just for the beauty of them, but they're really amazing plants, and really they're best known, at least I know them best, for their peppery flavor, and they're great treats on salads.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Now, if somebody was looking to get some, do they just go to the store and buy some, or...?
Well, that's part of our program, which is Flower of the Year. So normally we hand these out at trade shows, at public events. But with COVID, we're not able to offer them the same way. But our seed distribution, we're partnering with different businesses in town. We'll have them available at Community Cleanup, which is taking place through RMWB between May and August, I believe, or at least to the fall. So when you pick up a package there, you'll also receive some seeds, and different businesses throughout town will have them on their counters. You'll see a little package. You'll see the, they'll be in a basket, and you'll see a little sign saying Flower of the Year, Communities in Bloom. So yeah, there's lots of opportunities to pick them up throughout town, and you can go to our website at rmwb/CIB to find out more locations and information there.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll hear more from Helen Meyer, Committee Chair of Communities in Bloom, Wood Buffalo.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. If you're just tuning in on the line, I have Helen Meyer, and we're talking about communities in bloom. Helen, can you tell me about Nominate Your Neighbor?
Yeah, so Nominate Your Neighbor is it's a great program to recognize gardeners for their home gardens and businesses for maintaining their storefronts. It's an inclusive program that encourages all gardeners of all types. So that would be, you know, your beautiful front yard, or if you've got a patio garden or baskets, everything. We encourage all gardeners to participate. And also the whole region is included. So anyone within the region and communities are able to participate in the program. So you can go on to, again, to our website. And beginning in June, you are able to nominate your neighbors. So you would fill out an application form, submit it online. It's very easy to apply. And then the committee members, which we myself and we have some other members and volunteers, we deliver the little package to that address, and they can put there's a little sign that kind of shows that they've been, you know, it's a little recognition sign, and some seeds and other little prizes like that. We'll also be offering for participants each week or every week or so throughout the summer, we'll also be drawing for different prize baskets. So so that people that are participating, there's opportunities there to receive little gifts since we're not able to host our appreciation event, which would normally be Party in the Park.
Awesome. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think that's about all the questions I have. Did you have anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, the committee is also promoting the Communities in Bloom Canada's virtual program, which is called Hope is Growing. And anyone can participate by planting a hope garden, which is a garden including an abundance of yellow, the color of hope. Anyone can register at hopeisgrowing.ca and share photos on social media with the hashtag hopeisgrowing, and they're all eligible for national and global recognition. So this is kind of a new program for Communities in Bloom also with the pandemic and virtual programming. It's kind of neat. I registered myself. When you go on and register onto that Hope is Growing website, they actually have a map, and once you put in your address and your name, it shows a little flower in your area. So it's kind of interesting to see who's all participating. So there's something there for everyone. Again, just another opportunity to enjoy gardening and get involved and feel included. So, yeah.
That's really cool. I love that. I love the way that we can really get connected just through hashtags, you know?
Perfect. Yeah. I also wanted to let everyone know that this year the Communities in Bloom Committee is excited to have a community flower garden return this year. And unfortunately, due to the flooding last year, the garden plot at Snipe Park was damaged, but we are happy to plant a flower garden at Borealis Park in June.
Oh, great. That'll be wonderful to take a walk by. Will you be planting a lot of yellow in it?
Yes, we will be planting some yellow, and as well as the nasturtium flower of the year, there are some yellow components, and there's always, and for members or the community to participate, you know, there's so many easy flowers like marigolds and sunflowers that you can just throw seeds in and they will pop up. So it's a really nice way to contribute to the program. You bet.
That is awesome. And where can we find you again?
You can find us on rmwb.ca/CIB. I'd also like to thank the many individual and community gardeners out there. Community gardening organically connects community to nature while creating a sense of belonging and inclusion. Thank you to all your efforts in creating beautiful spaces and enhancing community connections.
Love it. That is a great note to end on. My guest this morning, Helen Meyer, the committee chair of Communities in Bloom, Wood Buffalo. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today here on Fort McMurray Matters. But if you missed it or you want to hear more, you can always head to our website, mix1037fm.com. We upload a podcast of this episode every afternoon after it airs. A fresh episode of Fort McMurray Matters airs every weekday at noon. Chat with you tomorrow.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.